the southern border.
House Republicans now say they'll take action next week to earmark $1.6 billion to start construction on 74 miles worth of fencing at Levee Wall in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas and near San Diego. It will be part of a much broader spending bill. More on just how the Republicans would spend more than $1 trillion of your tax dollars. Correspondent Wally Hines.
This budget is a plan for action.
Budget Committee Chairwoman Diane Black has two goals.
One is pro-growth tax reform, to build a tax code that is simple, fair, and competitive. And two is to achieve $200 billion in mandatory savings and reforms to cut the deficit.
That's $200 billion in cuts to domestic spending, including safety net programs.
Nobody gets a free pass.
Georgia's Rob Woodall calls it a cultural change for Washington.
That is Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines on Wall Street right now. Dow futures are down 55 points. This is SRN News.
You're listening to 620 AM KEXB.
Well, good morning, folks. Howdy and happy Wednesday today. So glad you have tuned in to JP, Kathy, and the crew. JP is out of town, and he should be back in studio tomorrow. But I believe we have Sharavius calling in live from Atlanta.
Good morning, Catherine Ann, all the way from Peach City.
Well, good morning, my friend, from Hotlanta, Peach City, whatever nickname we've got for it this week. How are you doing?
Everything's good. It's hump day.
I love it. I love it. Well, folks, we're so excited that we've got Sharavius calling in live I think either right before or right after the break. We have Dr. Dave, who is calling in. He was on last week, and his segment was so popular that we invited him back again today. And he is going to be talking about hypochondriacs, and I'm going to let him explain more about that. I have a couple of friends who I've run across in my years, and folks who tend to think there's always something physically wrong with them. And my question to him is going to be, does the internet perpetuate that as far as you being able to look symptoms up and think automatically, oh my goodness, I have this kind of a thing? So Sharavius, I'm excited to hear about that. How about you?
Hey, me, look, I'm all excited about knowing more, especially the older I get anyway.
Oh, yes, because you're so old at age 30 now. Oh, you're rapidly approaching 31, though.
Yes, I am.
I love it.
It's like I just turned 30. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
Time flies when you're having fun. Tell you, wait till you hit 50. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, folks, then at 6:30, we've got calling in live from the state capitol in Austin, Texas. We will have State Senator Van Taylor, who will be back with us. And those of you who have been with us a while, you know that during the legislative session, in which Texas only meets every other year for 6 months, and we would have on Tuesdays, we would have State Representative Jeff Leach call in live from the Capitol. He'll start again calling in next Tuesday morning himself. And then on Wednesday, State Senator Van Taylor calls in and gives us an update. Well, we have a special session this time, so we're really excited that both of them have decided to join us during this 30-day special session and keep us up to date on all of the fast-moving action that hopefully will be going on in Austin. So hopefully some good stuff will happen, because we had some stuff that did not happen during the legislative session, and we're looking to see that happens this 30-day special session period. So we've got a jam-packed show today, Sharavius, and good morning to you, Michael, on the board over there.
Good morning.
All right. Well, Sharavius, any words of wisdom from your neck of the woods, and how are things out in Hotlanta for you, besides hot?
Well, actually, I would like to say thank God for Obamacare. It's still pushing.
Oh, wow. I knew that was coming in. And hey, at this point, because it just looks like the numbers aren't happening for folks on the Republican side of the aisle. At this point, it looks like Obamacare Trump may just be like, you know what? Let's just let it fail, let it go away, and that's it. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks with Obamacare. You know, we've had the repeal and replace. We've had all of these different things. My thing is, don't modify something that doesn't make sense at all and that hasn't done well. I mean, again, if you want some true reform, let's see insurance reform.
So I have two thoughts about that, Kathy. You know my thoughts in the beginning of this. I said, if you have something better, do it. You know, if it's better, do it. But my whole thing is, and as the president of the United States, you said just let it fail. That's almost like a principal at a high school. Although we're not, okay, this program's not doing well, just let it fail, we'll replace it. No, no, no. You have to stick with it. If you really want to take care of the American people, find a way. Find a way. So if you got something better, find it.
Well, your Democrats, here's the thing, your Democrats aren't willing to discuss any of that or talk about that. So he has to strictly rely on Republican votes, which we know we've got a really close margin of the majority in the Senate. And there are several conservatives who are looking at this saying, why are we trying to put lipstick on a pig?
No, that's not what they're saying, Kathy. They're looking at it saying it doesn't make any sense either.
Okay. Have you been talking to these folks?
Kathy, they're looking at it saying this doesn't make any sense either. So because, no, just but we'll see what happens, though. So that's my words of wisdom. But this Wednesday, thank God for Obamacare.
Okay, there we go. Gosh, I hate to take it out to a commercial break on that. But, folks, I've got Michael operating the soundboard saying I've only got a few seconds left. Folks, when we come back, we should have Dr. Dave on the line talking about hypochondriacs. If not, I guess Shravius and I will be going after each other a little bit more. But it will be with love. Sometimes Shravius and I just have to disagree agreeably. Is that a fair way to put it, Shravius?
No, we have to agree to disagree.
Okay, or we can disagree agreeably. We can be kind about it. I love you, Shravius. All right, folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew on 620 AM. So glad you joined us on this Wednesday morning. We've got lots to talk about today, so we're so happy you're with us. We'll be right back.
Experts in business. 620 AM. KEXB.
Here's a look at your traffic this morning on 620 AM KEXB. A lot of road construction being picked up. They're currently clearing the cones on 35E northbound between 635 and Round Grove Road. Also in the process of picking them up in Corinth, 35E northbound at exit 459. Now, we do still have an accident working. This is going to be in Mansfield, 287 northbound at Debbie Lane. They should be in the final clearing stages. And that's traffic on 620 AM KEXB.
Del Wamsley here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, The Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Listen to The Del Wamsley Radio Show every weekday at 11 a.m. right here on 620 a.m. KEXB.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-41-BIBLE.
Hey, it's time to talk about our friends over at Total Med Solutions. We've been talking about the weight loss program for several months now, but there's much more services there. We're talking about hormone therapies, wrinkle fillers, aesthetics, injectables. That's what I just did. Take down this number, 972-460-9003. That's 972-460-9003 for the special Brian Glenn special. That's right. You get discount off things like Botox, Dysport, Restylane, Juvederm. All these things make you look and feel younger instantly. I know way too much about that. So don't forget, call 972-460-9003 for a special discount for just listening to this show. Go to TotalMedSolutions.com for more information. That's TotalMedSolutions.com. Do it today. Look younger instantly. TotalMedSolutions.com.
Rodenbaugh's, Allen's oldest business, offers a full range of products for your home. All types of flooring, quartz, and granite countertops, tile backsplashes, mattresses, and multiple brands of appliances, including Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, and Amana. Stop in now to receive up to $1,600 in rebates when you purchase a kitchen full of KitchenAid appliances. See store for details. You can find us at Rodenbaugh's.com. Whether you are remodeling, replacing, or upgrading, you've got the hometown advantage at Rodenbaugh's. Mention JP, Kathy, and the crew and get free standard delivery.
Make your grilling great again. The evolution of sauce is here, and there's a new king of the jungle. Silverback Gorillin' Sauce. A unique name, a unique flavor. With a taste that alternates between sweet and spicy, you can use it as a base, as a marinade, or better yet, pour it on top of your meat as you're grilling, as the sauce thickens and begins to caramelize under the heat. Gluten-free and no high-fructose corn syrup. Head on over to your local Kroger and pick up some, or find us at SilverbackGorillin.com. Get your grilling on.
Yeah!
From Wall Street to North Texas, this is 620 AM. KEXB.
Well, all right, folks. Happy Wednesday. Howdy. Welcome to JP, Kathy, and the crew on 620 AM KEXB. And we've got a full show today. First of all, good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
And then good morning, Sharavius.
Good morning, Catherine Ann.
Wait, whenever you say Catherine Ann, I always think I'm in trouble, remember?
No trouble today.
You know, when you're young and your parents are, they call you by your, you know, they throw out your formal first name and they throw your middle name in there. That's when you're like, throw the Barbies down, start running home because you must be late for dinner. Well, you wouldn't know about throwing Barbies down, would you, Sharavius?
I don't know, Catherine Ann. We'll see.
Well, folks, we're really excited today. We've got Dr. Dave on, actually calling in today, and he is going to be talking to us about hypochondriacs and the whole that whole world, how that works, and help folks with it and give us advice. And Dr. Dave, welcome to JP, Kathy, and the crew.
Thanks for having me again.
We're super excited to have you. JP said we got had a good response from your segment last week, so we're glad to have you on again this week. And Dr. Dave, if you'll tell us a little bit about yourself, how folks can get in touch with you, and then let's just dive right into the topic of hypochondriacs.
Okay, yeah. So, again, I'm an emergency medicine and trauma physician. I trained at Parkland. I finished in 2010 with my residency, so I've been an emergency physician from 2007 until now. It's about 10 years. And to get a hold of me, you have to find me in the ER. I'm not going to be giving out any information just yet.
Okay.
If you have an emergency, call 911. We'll stay.
There you go. Maybe they'll end up with you instead. Okay. Well, so you've got an extensive background in ER, and it sounds like, and I was going through some of your Facebook history and some of the memories you've shared and things, you've kind of been there, done that, and seen it all and seen some quite interesting items. So you're talking today about hypochondriacs and hypochondriasm. Is that a word?
It is a word. You know, in the ER, we get to see and deal with everything. And a lot of what we deal with is psychiatry. A lot of illness is produced, you know, by our mental state. You know, symptoms come up based on worries. And hypochondriasm has been around a long time, and it's a major factor in the medical community. It's estimated to cost almost $20 billion in unnecessary medical treatment and workups in the United States. But because, you know, we're a politically correct country, they're trying to get rid of the word hypochondriasm or hypochondriacs and replacing it with illness anxiety disorder.
Kidding me that they're trying to replace it with illness anxiety disorder.
I know you can't make that up. But I like that it emphasizes the word anxiety.
That
this disease is kind of psychological based and has a lot to do with anxiety.
I gotcha. Well, so tell us, okay, and again, and I'd like to ask you a couple of things. Like, how do you know when somebody is not really presenting the real symptoms? This is just a component of their hypochondriasm. And what do you do? Because I would imagine folks who have this disorder have a hard time even having a professional, a doctor like yourself, say, oh, okay, you're right, you're right.
For sure. You know, the first couple times a person is going to be seen, things are going to be taken seriously. You're always going to be taken seriously, but what's going to clue the physician in that this might be more of a hypochondriac versus a true medical emergency is the excessive worry that these people exhibit. There's an unfounded excessive worry from seemingly minor symptoms, and they're going to present over and over to, you know, their family doctor, to an emergency department, to an urgent care for these minor symptoms that in their head they've built up to be very, very big. So when we see somebody that kind of has that unfounded excessive worry, we know that, you know, this probably isn't going to be an hypertensive emergency, for example, or that your palpitations aren't a heart attack. There's little clues like that that, you know, with experience and with the way the patient presents, we're going to be able to key in on what's really going on.
Gotcha. So do you have any, and obviously I know you can't use names or specifics, but do you have any stories or any examples of hypochondriacs coming into the emergency room that you've come across over the years that really stand out in your mind?
Well, I've been working all night. I'm in the ER right now. So it's hard to come up with the best examples, but I have probably three sitting in my ER right now. So I mean, it's a very real thing that happens all the time. Just a couple hours ago, I had a young gentleman who's 20-something years old who remembered that he swallowed part of a pencil when he was a child. And it's always been in the back of his head. He's always been very worried about that pencil that he might have lodged in the back of his throat. And his throat started hurting this evening, and he had an anxiety attack over it and is, you know, petrified that this pencil lead might be perforating his throat. And, you know, the excessive worry was there, and despite the many reassurances that this wasn't going on, he wasn't satisfied, and he got up, and he was going to go to another doctor, another ER. And that's kind of the classic thing we see, the excessive worry, and then the reassurance that we try to provide isn't enough for a hypochondriac. The reassurance that we give, that we try to, even if there's tests involved, don't reassure the patient. They're not satisfied until their fears are validated.
So basically, you've got folks who, you've got to treat them in some way, shape, or form, because they're willing to pick up and head on down the road to see the next doctor at the next emergency room?
Sure, sure. Now, you always want to err on the side of caution. You know,
experience absolutely
has a lot to do with it. But you don't want to just assume somebody's a hypochondriac and not do anything for them. So if it's a complaint that's worrisome, we'll do the workup. We'll do the blood test, whatever it may be, an EKG, whatever we feel needs to rule out that emergency. But once we get to the point where we have... you know, a good case to bring back to the patient to say, you know, we addressed your concerns. Here's the data that proves, you know, what you're worried about is not going on. They're still not satisfied. So they're going to leave and usually go somewhere else.
Well, and that's the thing. So then you've got to make a judgment call. Can you ever prescribe to somebody and say, I think you're worrying, like, especially somebody who, like you said, swallowed part of a pencil when they were younger. Obviously, it hasn't impacted them. I'm sure they've been to the doctor numerous times, you know, between their childhood and their adulthood. Somebody like that, can you suggest they go and see a mental health professional? Or can you suggest, obviously you can prescribe medicine. Can you prescribe like some type of a Xanax or some type of an anti-anxiety medication?
You can, and it really depends on your relationship with the patient and how receptive they are to it. Some people don't want to hear it, but if you get a feeling that they're going to be receptive to you saying, you know, I do believe this is mental, then the next step's going to be, you know, how can we fix this from there? An anxiety medicine like Xanax is a great idea. Referring them to counseling. Honestly, hypnotherapists are very, very good at treating this, or a psychiatrist. It's funny you bring up Xanax. My best friend, who's much smarter than me, is a psychiatrist, and he sees a lot of, he gets referrals from primary doctors for abdominal pain. And you think, why is an abdominal pain going to see a psychiatrist? And it's because there's so much worry that goes into a hypochondriac that it causes physical symptoms like abdominal pain. Irritable bowel syndrome a lot of time comes from worry and hypochondriacism. And what he does, and he's been very successful, is treating irritable bowel syndrome with Xanax. So he's treating a physical symptom, abdominal pain, with a mental drug, Xanax, and it's helping with the symptoms. So that just goes to show that there's a strong connection between the excessive worry and the physical or somatic symptoms that come from it.
Wow, and that's actually really good news. Like, I've got a friend of mine who's had IBS and all kinds of symptoms like that for the majority of his adult life, and he's been tested for everything. And, you know, and has, you know, obsessively followed up with doctors and, you know, always getting this checked out. And recently a doctor said, you know what, this might be something that is more of a mental anxiety issue, and has since referred him to a mental health professional to talk about anxiety. So that's interesting that you're saying you've even got symptoms that you can, that could be physical, but again, it's the mental component. And then, Michael, you said you had a comment to pass along?
Yeah, your Uncle Leo from Fort Worth called in and said that he is proud of you.
Thank you, Uncle Leo.
Oh, I love that. Oh, hello, Uncle Leo. We're so glad to have you joining us on the show. I love that, Dave. That's so great. Okay, so tell us, how do folks notice, like, sometimes you've got friends, and you and everybody, anybody listening, kicking it old school on 620 AM on the dial, or through the KEXB app or another app to listen to us, or on Kathy Partridge Ward live on Facebook. Everybody knows at least one friend who, they always have something physically wrong. There's always, oh, yeah, I've got this, and they have the symptoms, they tell you about it. And it's like they're, you know, that you have people who you've worked with or you've been friends with over the years. Everybody's got that, at least that one friend who you look at and you think they've got to be a hypochondriac because they're always paranoid. How do you know the difference between somebody who maybe they're just a complainer, maybe they like the attention? And is there an attention component to being a hypochondriac? How do you know the difference between somebody who's just complaining or somebody truly who has this issue of hypochondriacism?
Well, it has a lot to do with the history that you're going to build up with a patient. One of the things you're going to do is you're going to look up to see how many times the patient's presented with the same complaints or even multiple complaints. But I have another patient here right now with abdominal pain like we were talking about, and she is 22 years old, and I see that she's been here 26 times in the last year. So there's not many.
What, 26,
you know, 22-year-olds are that many times in the last year. If there's really an emergency,
wow,
you wouldn't be around that many times. So that's one factor, that, you know, there's repeated visits for multiple complaints. You kind of look for certain things. You get a knack and a feeling, but you see that the patients, you know, rolling their fingers as kind of an anxiety type mechanism. You know, there tends to be a lot of shaking, the face twitches a lot. So there's little physical things that you see are causing the anxiety. But the other thing is they tend to know more about the disease they want to have than you do. They've done research on it, and when they present to you with medical jargon, medical terminology, and are telling you what they think they have and the test they want, you know, okay, this has gone beyond I'm having an emergency because my chest was hurting. This is someone who's been thinking about it and doing research on it. And, you know, the research that goes behind what a hypochondriac does is enough for a whole another segment.
I would imagine. Oh, okay. And what is that called again?
Looking up things online.
What is that called
again? To validate their concern.
What is that called again, Dr. Dave? I think that's an important term to know.
It's been termed cyberchondria, just like hyperchondria, but now it's cyber, so cyberspace, cyberweb. So someone who's going to be doing a lot of Googling, WebMD, and we want patients to research their disease, but there's a difference between when you're educating yourself on a disease you might have versus when you're excessively searching and trying to make a list or validate to prove to somebody what you think you have.
Exactly. Well, Shravius, do you, you've been kind of quiet, so do you know anybody who's a hypochondriac, or do you have any questions for Dr. Dave out of Atlanta?
Actually, no, Kathy. I'm just, like, really listening and being schooled on this. I didn't know it was this deep. I didn't know it was an issue like that. I never knew.
I guess, Shravius, I'm with you on that. Like, I'm understanding, like you said, a 22-year-old being in the ER 26 times. I mean, Dr. Dave, that's... You're right. I mean, obviously, if you're in a hospital or under doctor's care to where you're going that often, usually you're going through some kind of life-altering illness.
I got a question.
Sure. Oh, Michael,
it,
yes.
It costs, like,
yeah,
you said, a
isn't
lot
it, Dr. Dave, isn't
dollars,
it like it's really a compulsive disorder, and it's kind of like the same way that a lot of people think there's conspiracies from the government against them. There's conspiracies against themselves through the sicknesses.
Can you say that again, Michael?
Yeah. It's like people think that there is a conspiracy against them. Somebody's out to get them through their illness.
Sure, sure.
Again, that really kind of sounds like the mental component of that. Now, Dr. Dave, you just mentioned a number as far as how much this costs the medical profession and folks. Can you please mention that again?
Sure. It's estimated about $20 billion a year, and that's multifactorial. There's different ranges of physicians. There's different ranges of emergency physicians, family physicians. Some doctors are going to do a big workup no matter what is going on. If you come in and say you have abdominal pain, some doctors are going to always do blood work and always do a CAT scan. That costs a lot of money. Some doctors are going to, like myself, if I've seen you've had it done multiple times, I'm going to try to reassure you that your CAT scan was normal last week. It's, you know, when you look the same, it's not going to be any different this week. We don't need to do it again. So that's how the money adds up. Also, the doctor shopping adds up. You know, if I might not have a history with this patient, it might be the first time that they're in my ER, so I'm going to, you know, do justice and try to work it up, when in reality that patient could have been all over Dallas-Fort Worth getting the same test every week, searching for that one doctor who's going to validate what they think they have, and they usually just don't get it. And there's risk to it. You know, if someone who's going to get a CAT scan multiple times trying to figure out, you know, the what they think they might have, eventually might get cancer from all the radiation. And that's more health dollars down the line that could have been prevented. You know, there was a Microsoft study that was done, actually, that said they studied their employees' internet web searches. And they found out that at some point during the month, half of their employees had interrupted their day and searched for some kind of medical information online. And the more troubling part was the results that popped up were the worst possible diagnoses. So we have people, normal people, who get a little worried and then search for something online, see the worst possible diagnosis, and that's where things start. You know,
and then that's when they come to...
The worry goes in ahead,
right,
and just things spiral out of control from there.
And that's where they come to see you in the ER, and then the cycle starts, and the money starts, and the time starts. So, Dr. Dave, I hope you're going to join us again next week. This has been extremely fascinating. It's extremely enlightening. Thank you so much for taking a break and actually calling us from the ER. We really
sure
do appreciate you. We hope you have a great day, and we look forward to talking with you again real soon, Dr. Dave.
Thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks. Have a great week. Okay, folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew on 620 AM KEXB. We are coming back live from Austin with State Senator Van Taylor.
620 AM KEXB, experts in business in North Texas.
Just a check of your traffic this morning on 620 AM KEXB. Got a train derailment in Irving at the intersection of West Pioneer and Main Street. Pioneer is closed in both directions. Accident working on 35E northbound. The exit to Medical District Drive is partially blocked. Accident reported 75 Central northbound at Lemon Avenue. So seen a bit of delays there. And that's traffic on 620 AM KEXB.
Want to know the best kept secrets of saving money on real estate? Tune in to Texas Top Homes every Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. DFW's number one source of real estate deals and tips, Texas Top Homes, where you can get the insider information on where to buy and who to buy from. Listen each week as they bring you guests that are experts in real estate. Texas Top Homes, where home buying, selling, and financing are simplified. Every Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. Right here on
620 AM KEXP, experts in business.
At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Family Healthcare Associates, serving you and your family for over 40 years. With 11 locations across the Metroplex, you are sure to find a personal physician who meets your needs. Our highly trained primary care physicians, internal medicine, and pediatric and OBGYN specialists provide contemporary medical treatments for the entire family through all stages of life, from prenatal to seniors. Visit Family Healthcare Associates at FHCATX.com. That's FHCATX.com, or call 817-794-0031.
Now's your chance to update your kitchen and save a bunch. Go to Rodenbaugh's and see all the KitchenAid appliances that qualify for up to $1,600 in rebates when you buy a multi-piece kitchen suite. But that's not all. Rodenbaugh's can replace your floors, countertops, backsplashes, and your old mattresses with finance options up to $50,000 with qualified credit. Check them out at Rodenbaugh's.com. Family-owned and operated since 1962, Rodenbaugh's is Allen's oldest business. Mention J.P., Kathy, and the crew and receive free standard delivery.
When you grin on a Saturday night, you want a sauce with a kick. When you grin on a Saturday night, you want a sauce that stays. And you'll be go-reeling, go-reeling. Silverback go-reeling sauce. I said Silverback go-reeling sauce.
Silverback go-reeling sauce. Head on over to your local Kroger and pick up some, or find us at silverbackgorillin.com. Get your go-reeling on.
Yeah!
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Oh, I'd be a nervous wreck if my daughter just got her license.
You know, Liberty Mutual actually helped me relax a little bit.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, with roadside assistance, Liberty Mutual is there to make sure she won't get stranded. Don't know what I'd do without it.
Sounds better than the alternative.
Which is?
Keeping her home until she's 30.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Your experts in business throughout North Texas. 620 AM KEXB.
Welcome to JP, Kathy, and the crew on 620 AM KEXB. So glad that you've tuned in today, whether you're kicking it old school on the dial on 620 AM, or if you are listening to us through one of the music apps on either KEXB or another music app. And then if not, or if you are listening and you'd like to catch us later and see a behind the scenes look at the show and kind of see what goes on during commercials, you can always tune in to Kathy Partridge Ward. I always make my Facebook Live post from the morning radio show viewable to everybody. So please tune in, and thanks so much for being with us today. We have a huge thank you to State Senator Van Taylor. And yes, folks, the Texas legislature only meets 6 months every other year, so this would be out of cycle. So this would be a special session time, and we're so excited that Senator Taylor has agreed to call us again on a weekly basis live from the Capitol in Austin to give us an update. So welcome, Senator Van Taylor.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you? And I tell you what, tell us what's going on in Austin so far. I know you just literally started, but what are your thoughts on the first week? What do you think is going to happen on the Senate side of things? What do you hope to see happen? Because I know you've always been very assertive and aggressive about getting the taxpayers' agenda passed, and I know you're going to be working diligently on that for the next 30 days.
Absolutely. So, the Senate started off quickly. We quickly moved to have a hearing for the first two bills of the special session, which had to deal with sunset legislation. Texas has a great process where we go and review agencies top to bottom every 12 years. Very, very proud of my colleagues in the Senate. You know, there were 20 sunset bills this session. Every bill that got to the Senate successfully was voted out. We had a 100% success rate. Unfortunately, three bills, so there were 10 bills we started and sent over to the House and then got to the governor's desk, and there were seven bills that started in the House that got to the Senate that also went to the governor's desk. There were three bills that started in the House that never got out of the House, and so we needed to pass those. And so picked up two of them, had a hearing for them yesterday. I'm actually the author for both of those bills, and we will be voting them on second reading on the floor of the Senate today. We're coming in at 1. Normally, I would think those bills would be really quick, a couple minutes, but given the fact that they're the only two things for anybody to talk about, I expect quite a few senators to stand up and ask questions or pontificate on it, so that might take a little longer than usual, but I suspect they'll head out without a hitch today out the floor of the Senate. They only require a majority vote of the senators, so I think there's no doubt in my mind. Actually, 9 senators voted for it yesterday in the Business and Commerce Committee, so it was a unanimous vote there. And so feel good about getting that passed. And once we get that done, tomorrow morning, once Senate Bill 20 and 60 have passed on third reading, the third time they read, the third day, then in turn, Governor Abbott has promised to expand the call with additional things. And I will say the number one thing that I hear from my voters about is property taxes. The idea that your taxes can go up, 5 to 10% every year, year after year after year, when your pay is not going up that much, just doesn't seem right. And I agree with them. And I think that, you know, voters need to have a say before their taxes go up. So.
Agree. Well, and Senator Taylor, so how do you, during special session, if you can educate our listeners, basically, sure. Is it the same, because you've talked extensively about, you know, how you file bills, how people come and speak publicly, all of these different kinds of things. Is it the same process during special session?
The process is largely the same. There are a few, rule changes, quote unquote, to expedite things. Normally, you need a 3/5 vote in the floor of the Senate to pass a bill. Now, during the special session, you only need a majority vote, so there's a lower vote threshold, which helps expedite things. The Senate is strongly in favor of Governor, and I mean the Senate broadly. Is strongly in favor of Governor Abbott's agenda, and he's doing a lot of common sense things like, you know, property tax relief, the Women's Privacy Act, improving property rights for citizens vis-a-vis local governments, which are, you know, sometimes step on those. And that's rare, but it does happen, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And so with that, I think you're going to see the Senate move quickly. The plan is to have pretty much everything on the governor's agenda out of the Senate by the middle of next week.
Well, and that's aggressive, and doesn't surprise me that the Senate plans to move, and I would imagine will move, especially with, like you said, just a majority required instead of the 3/5. I would imagine that you guys will move very quickly. During session, we know that there were some holdups. Let's just say that. That's the politically correct way of saying it. There were some holdups in the House, and as a result, we're back. So what do you anticipate coming out of the House? Because I don't know, you hear all of these different talking points on the radio yesterday as far as folks wanting to hold up the Women's Privacy Act and things of that nature. On the House side of things, I know there's a couple of state senators who are more liberal who are trying to hold that up on y'all's side. But on the House side, once you guys have passed things over, what do you anticipate during this 30 days?
Well, you know, let me, just on that issue, and you know, that is an issue that, you know, if you told me 8 years ago when I ran for the Texas House in 2010, you know, hey, you're going to be dealing with, you know, the policy of local governments and whether, you know, men going into women's restrooms, I would have just said that's just crazy.
Oh, I mean, isn't it funny? What, yeah, a big difference, I mean, a few years makes.
Right. I mean, there's no way that that's ever going to be an issue. I mean, I can't imagine that. You know, what this has become, and even 2 years ago, I think if you, you know, last session you said, look, we really need to do something. I just didn't see it. But I think you've seen numerous cities, you know, really rip themselves inside out. I mean, go into legal battles. I mean, spending, you know, tremendous amounts of resources, fighting things all the way up to the Supreme Court on this. You've seen cities fight over this. You've seen school districts fight over this. You know, and if your city or school district hasn't had this fight, and actually most haven't, there are only a couple of cities and a couple of school districts that have had this fight, eventually they will. This issue is, unfortunately, a lot of people are like, I just wish you didn't have to deal with this. And I said, well, you're right. I wish I wouldn't have to deal with this. I agree with you on that point. But the fact is that it isn't, you know, it's real. It's here. It's a big deal. You know, and the question I think we need to ask ourselves, you know, kind of as a state is, do we want to have, you know, 1,000 school districts and 1,000 cities and 254 counties and, you know, hundreds of charter schools go and have all these different separate fights and have different groups, you know, and ultimately, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that eventually, you know, private businesses will be sued for the way that they've organized their restrooms. I mean, and this is, I mean, you know, kind of bathroom wars is really...
It is kind of bathroom wars. And Senator, we're getting ready to run out of time here before our break.
Sure.
You'll be with us next Wednesday. So will you be able to, yep, at that time, if you're cool with this, give us an update on the activities from this week, especially any movement on the Women's Privacy Act, because that is the hot topic. That's,
sure,
we've made national news with that one. So will you continue to update us on that and on the legislation,
absolutely,
that you're pushing through? Because, again, we just appreciate you so much and you being such a champion,
sure,
for the taxpayers. Keep up the good work, my friend, and we'll talk, okay, to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks so much. Have a blessed week, Senator. Folks, when we come back, Shravius and I will be getting into it over who knows what. I don't know. Shravius, let's pick a hot topic and let's go to... I miss you so much. I miss looking at your smiling face when we debate issues. But folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew on 620 AM. That was State Senator Van Taylor, who was calling you live from the Capitol in Austin because we are in a special session. So whenever we're in special session, your tax dollars are up for grabs. So you want to continue to listen to what he has to say over the next 30 days of this special session in the great state of Texas. Folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew.
This is 620 AM KEXB, experts in business throughout North Texas.
Here's a check of your traffic this morning on 620 AM KEXB. Accident working on 75 northbound at Lemon Avenue. Also, we've got a crash still working. 35E northbound is blocking the exit of Medical District Drive. We're in the process of picking up the cones in Dallas, 114 westbound at O'Connor. Still going to be slow back to Loop 12, Walton Walker. And that's traffic on 620 AM KEXB.
Do you suspect your teen has a drug or alcohol problem? Has their behavior, friends, or attitude changed? Waterford Academy can help. Waterford Academy has two convenient locations in Richardson and Flower Mound. We offer free drug screening as a first step to identifying the problem. Waterford Academy offers outpatient services for both day and evening schedules. Our licensed therapists use the most innovative, up-to-date therapy techniques and help your teen develop coping skills to succeed in recovery and in life. Waterford Academy's day program offers fully transferable education courses. Our programs offer family counseling and education to help you and your teen understand the disease of addiction and how to overcome it. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Let us help and take that step together. Visit WaterfordAcademyLLC.com. That was WaterfordAcademyLLC.com. And start your family on the path
to a healthy future.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
New Directions Counseling and Education Center is dedicated to helping individuals and families live productive lives. We offer counseling for individuals dealing with depression and anxiety, relationship issues, family adjustment issues, and marriage and divorce counseling. If you have a child 17 or under with a behavior issue or family conflict, contact our office and ask about our special 4-6 sessions at no charge to the family. For more information, call 972-680-8986 or newdirectionscounseling.com.
Families are precious. We love and protect them, yet life happens. Sometimes we need a specialist to go to bat for us. If you or a loved one is in need of legal assistance, get help from someone you can trust. Michael D. Curran is a specialist in family law and criminal defense cases. Michael has practiced law here for over 20 years and will help you deal with any legal matter. Need legal counsel you can trust? Call Michael Curran at 972-569-8484 or visit collincountylegal.com. Your initial consultation is free.
Your retirement should be a time to enjoy, so it's critical that you don't run out of money and worry about your bills.
This is Ken Morave, host of the Money Matters Radio Show, inviting you to our free seminar.
Choose the Alliance area, 7 p.m. tomorrow, Holiday Inn Express, or in Plano, 1 p.m. Saturday in the Money Matters building. You'll learn how to help make your money last as long as you do and so much more. Reserve now at moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net or call 800-994-0302. Again, 800-994-0302.
From Wall Street to North Texas, this is 620 AM, KEXB, your experts in business.
All right, folks, welcome to JP, Kathy, and the crew. Happy Wednesday. We're so happy to have you with us. Good morning, Sharavius out of Atlanta.
Good morning, folks, all the way from Peach City.
I love it when you say folks, because I know you're making fun of me. I love it. I love it. Okay, well, let's see if we can agree on a bit of fake news, Sharavius. So yesterday, and I wasn't tuned into the news a whole lot yesterday, but every time I put on Fox or I was listening to something, they were discussing I've got to qualify that on Fox. They weren't discussing this as a second meeting, but they did discuss later on what the quote unquote second meeting was. Here's the thing, G20 summit. So you've got Putin's there, Trump is there. There is a dinner party, if you will, that happened, and The big news yesterday was that there was a second meeting between Trump and Putin. And so here's what constitutes a second meeting to them. And then I'm thinking, wow, I've had 90,000 more meetings over my years than I thought I've had. Basically, you've got the spouses there. It's a formal dinner setting. And at one point, Trump and Putin say hello to each other. And now you've got media saying that was a second meeting. I mean, Sharavius, even you've got to say that's stretching it on the definition of a meeting. Just saying hi to somebody at a dinner party where you have your spouse and they have their spouse?
I mean, so it's twofold. I mean, that can be considered, a meeting.
Well, but they were not discussing anything other than hello. They were greeting each other. They were saying hello. How is that a meeting? So then think of all the restaurants you've been to. Think of all Even the night that you and myself and JP, we broadcast live from Love and War in Texas the night of the election. Do you consider that a meeting that we had?
Well, no, because it depends on the event. You know what's happening. You know,
this was an event.
Of course.
Well, okay, and again, so this was a restaurant. This was a dinner party. Is that considered a meeting?
Were they sitting down and having dinner together?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. It was a group of world leaders and their spouses, and it was and they were all eating dinner, and that was it. No meeting ahead of time. No business was discussed. It was just get together with the spouses and have dinner.
It was Putin, Trump, and 18 other leaders from around the world, and all their spouses.
Well, just because the spouses are with you, that doesn't mean it's not a meeting.
But again, but that's the thing. There was not business was not discussed. It was part of. So if you've got over 40 folks who are sitting down eating dinner together, how can that in any stretch of the imagination be considered a meeting? Because to me, a meeting means I have sat in, and I've had plenty of dinner meetings or working meetings or lunch meetings or breakfast meetings where I've sat down and I've broken bread with somebody and we've literally discussed business opportunities, or we've discussed moving a project forward, or whatever the case may be. But if I'm sitting down and it's my husband and I, and we've got another couple with us, and and especially if we're with a group of folks, like we were with a steak cookout not too long ago, and there's several couples involved, there was business wasn't discussed. It was just a social gathering, which is what this is. So I just don't understand. And again, Travis, I know you're coming from a far more liberal point of view. How is that deemed a second meeting just between Trump and Putin when literally you've got world leaders, their spouses, and everybody sitting down at dinner eating?
But with the media, Kathy, just to be open and honest with it, if they're not, and this is just with any president, if the media is not a part of it, you know, they assume there's something to hide. And that's just, you know, well, hey, we're just going to assume. A lot of the news is based off assumption, in so many different areas. So whether it's Trump, Obama, Bush, you know, so maybe it's just an assumption. My whole thing is, hey, it could have been dinner. It could have been a meeting. Tomato, tomato.
Well, no, but it's not tomato, tomato, because here's the thing. It was not a meeting. It was a social gathering that included the spouses. So if clearly it's a social gathering, and it's with other world leaders, okay. If they're going to say this was a meeting, then why didn't they mention all of the other world leaders who are involved in this G20 summit, who were invited to this meeting, who were part of that? Instead, the media, the liberal media here in America, goes and pulls out that this was a meeting, a second meeting. They didn't mention anything about the dinner. They didn't mention anything about spouses. They didn't mention anything about all of the other people who were there. Shravius, all they said was that there has been a second meeting of Trump and Putin during the G20 summit.
But that's not true.
That's not true.
Let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't this have been considered a meeting?
Because it was a social gathering. If you go out and you're with your friends, and one of you talks to each other, one talks to the other one, you're saying hi, you're breaking bread, you're saying cheers, you're sharing a beer together, how is that considered a meeting? And again, if you've got to look, even you've got to look at the way the liberal media is trying to grab a story where there is no story. Basically, this was a fancy dinner party where you've got 20 world leaders, you've got their spouses, and how out of that, again, classified as, hey, very interesting, there was a dinner that came to fruition at the G20 summit. World leaders were there. Their spouses were there. Okay, that's legitimate news, because that's true. But then why did they have to say in the headlines, and the only story that came out of this until everybody realized, hey, this is fake news, is that, okay, guess what? There was no meeting. There was not a second meeting. A second meeting between Putin and Trump means they're in a room together with interpreters and with their chiefs of staff and their folks who are in charge. And
doors closed
business.
And folders and binders.
Yeah, this was just, you know, breaking bread, sharing some wine over dinner. And those two weren't even seated next to each other.
All right, so let me ask you a question. So are you saying it wasn't a meeting based on, because it was public, it was out in the public? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying because it was dinner. It was a dinner party with spouses.
So, okay, so because it was because they had dinner with spouses, it wasn't a meeting. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, because there were no agenda items. There was no business discussed. Putin and Trump did not even speak to each other than the fact that they greeted each other, shook hands, and said hello. That was it. That's not a meeting. That's me on any given day at a 7-Eleven buying nachos. I shake hands and say hi to everybody I meet in there.
But, Kathy, so, I mean, I could be on the golf course playing golf and all that. I'm not in the public. I can be with, you know, hanging out with someone and all that. I mean, I could be having a business meeting.
Absolutely. But you would be discussing business, right? If it's going to be a meeting, you would be discussing business.
So if you're talking about business, that means so a meeting is considered, you know, one or more persons gathering and discussing a specific topic, and so forth. So this could very well be the same thing. Just a setting is different. You're just having dinner with other people.
But the media was portraying it as an unscheduled private meeting, just like the other meeting that he had earlier with Putin, which discussed official international business.
No, it was a scheduled, and that's the thing, Shravius. I want you to go back and look at this story, and then let's talk about some more because we're about to run out of time. But here's the thing: this is one of those things where it was touted as one thing, but it was a scheduled dinner party. There was no business discussed between the two of them. They didn't even. It's not even like they sat next to each other, and maybe you can read into the fact that maybe they sat there and discussed stuff. It was, I mean, we're talking about, you know, over 40 people at this event, at this dinner. So that's where I'm like, what the heck, man? The liberal media, they're creating stories where there's not a story.
Well, here's my whole thing. Now they know how Obama felt.
Now we go into Obama. Here's Shravius talking about his boy Obama. Oh my goodness. Shravius, I love you and I miss you. All right, folks, we're JP, Kathy, and the crew. Have a blessed day. We'll talk with you tomorrow with Money in the Bank with Frank live from Wall Street. Bye, Shravius. Bye, folks.
KEXB.
This is Barbara Gill, co-host of Secrets of Successful Women.
With Dr. Neil Gallagher. Honored to be with Barbara Gill, Secrets of Successful Women. Saturdays, 10 o'clock, right here on 620. Barbara, why should our friends want to listen to Secrets of Successful Women on Saturday mornings?
Because we showcase a variety of women, sharing their sad stories and their glad stories.
Well, some of the women you've lined up, Barbara, are amazing. Sheriffs, doctors.
We have had grandmothers. We have had college students. We have had women with experiences.
That's right. You call it the sad and glad experiences. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. Barbara tells her own stories with Secrets of Successful Women. Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock, right here in KXB. And Barbara, what do we got lined up for this Saturday? Some great guests?
Every Saturday, we have great guests. And they are getting better every Saturday, aren't they, Doc?
They are. Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock, right here in KXB. Be here.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt?